Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Forever Dog.
Hi, Adventure Cateers. It's me, Ben Blacker.
And me, Ben Acker.
The Thrilling Adventure Hour is returning with brand new episodes starting Monday, October 29th. Available on all the podcast apps, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google. What do you use for your podcast?
Whatever's on my phone.
Please subscribe to our Patreon page right now so that we can pay for everything and give you great stuff in return. You won't be paying for this episode. This is free.
Gratis.
It's patreon.com/thrillingadventurehour. So we hope you enjoy these new episodes. I'm confident you will.
Then I'm confident that they will. You will. You guys will.
This is Ben Acker.
And Ben Blacker.
See you in hell.
Not if I see you first.
And now, coming to you from Hollywood, Los Angeles, California, America, it's the nation's favorite new time podcast in the style of old time radio, The Thrilling Adventure Hour.
Oh. Hey, happy anniversary, everybody.
Yay.
What's the anniversary?
Oh my god.
10 years.
10 years.
And this is our 200th podcast.
Correct.
Wow.
Which one are we celebrating both?
So we're celebrating both. And I thought, you know, we could get together as a group and talk about these past 10 years and our memories. We've kind of talked about, you know, on previous behind the scenes podcasts how everybody got involved, but for those of you who were there from the very beginning,
the original four,
which is yeah,
of which three
Paul,
are here,
Paul Padgett and Gagliardi. Do you guys remember the first show or those first few shows at all?
No.
I remember the original reading at.
I remember the reading.
Mark.
Oh no! I'm going to interrupt everything you say.
To say the same thing.
You're welcome.
I remember that reading was it your house or Acker's
at my
house?
Yeah.
At your old house. And but I don't remember the first. I don't remember a lot of Empire.
I wasn't there, was I?
At you that reading? There. No, you weren't.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't.
No. You probably weren't born yet.
You were at the first show. You were not at that reading.
I was at the first show, but not the reading. But I also think of us as having an original seven. I never think that it's four.
Who
I
are
always
those seven?
Think,
Derek Hughes.
Well, it's no, oh,
Yul Brynner.
Oh, who I
Yul
thought I saw on the Yul market Brynner. The other day.
You're pretty
but it wasn't?
I'm not sure.
Well, he's a magician.
Yeah.
No way,
but
how mysterious.
Yeah.
Mark Evan Jackson.
Mark Evan Jackson. I think of the originals as Mark, Hal, Craig, Annie, me, Paul. That's it. That's seven.
Yeah.
That's who I think
the
of as having
seven?
Done the first show on.
Right.
That's why I
don't you guys?
The show when I came to
well,
see
and
it.
I wanted to ask about that too, because Autumn, you are one of. I think you're the only one here who actually came to see the show before.
I have something of distinction to offer.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
Because you guys knew each other.
Yeah, I ran into Annie at Lucky Strike. We were at the strike, and I was like, okay, what are you up to? What's going on? She was like, I'm doing this stage show. It's like a 1940s thing. I was like, that sounds amazing.
It's the douchiest bowling alley in the
world. Oh, yeah, ever. It's the Hollywood bowling alley.
A lot. That's where deals are made. That's how you get on the show.
Like dive bar.
You were at the frolic room.
Not. We were at Lucky Strike at Hollywood and Highlands. I'm sorry.
And I think we were like, she was coming out of the bathroom, and I was in line for the bathroom, so it was really eloquent.
Yeah, it just gets better. She was in this show, and I was like, that sounds amazing. I want to come see it. And I think I came to see it 3 times before I was like,
oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely came to see it multiple times.
I remember recommending that you see it because at that point there was like a couple people who came and were guests of the show and they were like, what? Like, during
That's
the show,
right.
They had clue what was going on. I was like,
yeah.
You see it.
Mm-hmm. And
so you know what you're getting.
That happened a lot back then, as people would show up, and then we would terrify them by just dropping them into rehearsal.
It was a lot looser.
Yes.
As loose as this show is.
I also saw it before I joined.
I thought you may.
Although it's very different. I saw the, I think, the third or fourth show, and I think I started on the fifth.
Yeah, that's
Aaron Ginsberg talking.
I went back to look at like my notes. I still have all the emails and notes back from 2005.
Oh, and all your old medication bottles.
That's right.
For that time,
I'm a bit of a hoarder, an email hoarder especially.
So wait, you came and saw the show and were like, oh, this needs fixing.
Paul told us it needed fixing.
Yeah,
I remember.
It did.
Because it was so messy. Because it was Ben and I were just trying to hold the thing together. Mm-hmm. And you said, I think we need a director.
And thank God.
Thank God.
I do remember it being still super entertaining. But it definitely was.
For a different reason.
For a different reason. Yeah. Well, it was a very small stage.
Yes.
And still, like, for the four, there were like 5 mics across, 5 or 6 mics,
mm-hmm. yes.
and a band, and somebody doing sound.
And a piano.
At any time, yeah. like, 2 to 8 people. Yeah. Like, it was just. Like, there just wasn't enough room for anybody. Somebody had to direct the track.
It was a really shallow stage at MBAR,
too. Yeah, very.
And I remember we tried early on, we tried to have, instead of holding the scripts, try to have music stands where so you could easily turn the pages, and it was a disaster.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. Knocking them over left and right.
Oh, yeah.
Acker and Blacker approached me early on about directing the show, mm-hmm. and I was like, I totally could. I all the way don't want to. I really would like this just to be fun for me. So,
did it ever turn out to be fun for
you? There's one more month, so.
Can I ask a question? Because I don't remember who, and if it wasn't like, because I think of that 7 as the beginning as well.
That was pretty well formed within the first 6 months.
Right.
Yeah.
Who
Very
else
quickly.
Was in yeah. those Wait, first 3 episodes of
Did you mention Gruber?
Oh, Gruber.
Oh my God, guys! Yeah.
You didn't die.
Like, who else was in that show? I mean, I know there was that the poster that had everybody.
It's a it's a bunch of names that don't mean anything to
except for groups
the podcast, except for Gruber,
Dave Gruber,
and their families.
And other people.
And them.
Maybe one exception, which is Derek Hughes as right. Presto Prescott, the radio magician.
The radio magician.
It wasn't Sam Levine around early?
Sam Levine was around,
Macucci came about the same time. They both were
joined
up.
Danny Strong.
After about a year or so.
Yeah.
But I'm curious to hear from Aaron and from Autumn what that show looked like when you guys came to see it. And like, what was the energy? Do you even remember what some of the content was?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I totally remember.
You say you didn't.
Pretty sure it was Padgett's and Paul. It's a Beyond Belief Safari episode. Yes, exactly. And Padgett's listing of all the animals has never left my life is one of my favorite moments. On stage I have ever seen.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I still remember that to
this
day.
That was the first time you were there?
Yeah, that was the first time I was at the show.
Oh, wow.
And my jaw was basically on the floor because I thought you guys were all like magical, magical human beings.
Oh, we are. And now you're one of us.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Hello, I'm Mark Gagliardi from the Thrilling Adventure Hour.
Hello, I'm Mark Evan Jackson from the Thrilling Adventure Hour.
Hi.
Not in the script.
I'm Paul F. Tompkins. From The Thrilling Adventure.
Hello. I'm Paget Brewster from The Thrilling Adventure.
We four Work Juice players have the distinction of being with this show since the very first episode.
And we're proud. To be with the show tonight for its very last episode.
That's correct, yeah.
You guys, we have one more show next month.
Next month is no good for me.
Now, next month's show is what you call in the theater an encore.
A victory lap.
One last score. We're going to rob the Largo box office.
Anyway, as far as anyone can remember, this show, for 10 years probably, has been sponsored by Work Juice Coffee.
That's right, Mitch. The pleasure...
What's your name? That's okay.
The pleasure you get from a single
pleasure?
Serving.
Come on, Phil.
The pleasure you get from a single serving of Work Juice Coffee or whatever is like getting together once a month and working with the most talented, wonderful people you could ever hope to meet.
Work Juice brand coffee warms you up inside. Just like this.
Where she left off, the thing I remember, I remember very little of the content except for a run of Jackson Sparks being unable to pronounce Croach's name. It went on for like 10 minutes long.
That sounds right.
And very funny, but I remember like, that's what I distinctly remember was him saying his name over
was
and over.
Was it the one where I totally said it right over and over?
Yes, exactly.
That's right.
Well, that's what I remember.
Was there any point in the first year of MBAR any danger of the show not continuing? Like, was there any point where you guys were like, oh, maybe we won't do this next month?
Do you remember?
No, there was no danger of that.
It immediately was like, this is the...
There has been, like, every month for the past 5 years.
Yeah.
I don't think there ever was, because we were still discovering the show in a lot of ways.
What was the turnout at the early shows? Like, the first show, do you remember? How full was the house?
MBAR?
We sold out MBAR.
Yeah, we sold out.
First time?
The first,
before anyone knew what this was.
Yeah, but we also knew everyone in the audience.
Right.
That's how theater works in Los Angeles, right?
I don't remember ever having...
Actually, the first time it was free.
Was it?
That's right.
Oh.
And then it was $5.
Yeah.
And on a Thursday night.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Oh, that's
wow.
Right. Cinco de Mayo followed us from year to year as we moved from Thursday to Friday to Saturday.
And Cinco de Mayo is the toughest night to sell tickets.
Next door to a South American restaurant.
Oh, Floridita.
Floridita. So Cinco de Mayo was kind of tough competition next door.
Did they have that down there?
What's that?
They had that down there?
Yeah,
wasn't
there sound leaf in the wall?
I think for Hollywood purposes they had it.
Yeah, there was the hallway. Floridita, wall met up with the bathrooms of MBAR, and then a hallway. But you could still hear
the bands playing through
hot bands too, like
real people, like really going crazy.
Yeah, really good people. Yeah, yeah.
20-piece brass section.
Insane.
It was crazy. My favorite recollection of them was when it would be somebody's birthday at the restaurant, and they would do this crazy caliente version of Happy Birthday. Happy birthday to you. The horns are going crazy. It's like, I want my birthday to be there.
Yeah. There's still time. It's still around. What are you doing?
I don't want to be doing this stupid show.
Did any of you ever do the show on your birthday?
Yes.
Yeah,
last year at Comic-Con.
Comic-Con doesn't count, Mark. Because you were supposed to get a free small cone.
The last M-Bar show was on my birthday.
Really?
Yeah.
Did we celebrate in any way?
No. No, we did not. No, that's not true. Afterwards, when the competition was performing, we sang Happy Birthday, which I think, Jackson, you may have led the crowd. Either you or...
You know, the whole thing's a blur.
It's a lot of scotch flying around. Is that...
That partnership between Common Rotation and the Thrilling Adventure Hour is one of my favorite things that we used to have at M-Bar. Yeah. When you, when Jackson had like a 6 month, you had a joke that lasted 6 months from setup to punchline. Common Rotation used to play after the show every month, and Jackson, do you remember this? You want to?
Is that the name of the band?
No. This was the trumpet thing.
Yeah. Oh.
Let me dive my trumpet in my hand.
Right.
Now, unlike you as it is to draw something out, does this ring a bell at all?
It totally rings a bell.
You're pronouncing it wrong.
It totally rings a bell. The six-month arc of it, I don't know what you're talking
Mark,
about.
Mark, explain your story.
All right. No, this was... Because this was when I first... Like, it was a couple years in. It was the first time I realized that I liked Jackson.
Wasn't also the last?
And the last. No, it was because Common Rotation or Dust Bowl Cavaliers used to play after us every month.
Yeah.
And that was a really fun 1-2 punch. I used to love watching that. And there was a time when you had this bit going.
Jackson would host the post-show.
Yes. And Jackson would, I want to be in Common Rotation. You can't. You're not allowed.
Right.
I want to be in Common Rotation. You can't. You're not a musician.
Yes.
You can't. You're not a musician. And this went on for months and months until one night Jordan the Brass Cats could not be there.
Yeah.
And Jackson had spent a month learning how to play the musical interlude to a Common Rotation song on the trumpet, and the audience went bananas, and Jackson stood on the stage for about 3 minutes just repeating the phrase, "Music is easy." And oh my god, I was dying. That was one of my favorite moments.
Yeah, no, I'm hilarious.
But now, do you guys remember what was before Common Rotation after us? Remember we had that great partnership with all the burlesque dancers that would perform?
I forgot about that.
Zero.
No.
You don't remember that?
No, there was.
Months and months, and we would be finishing, and then all these burlesque dancers would be coming on.
That was less of a partnership.
It wasn't like a double bill. They had their own show after us, so it was...
Yeah. But we would stand outside the M-Bar.
While they were loading in,
and I knew it was time to go when their fans would start handing me their IDs.
I think that's why we started having Common Rotation play after us.
Was to have the evening to ourselves?
Yeah, we became friends with them, and they wanted to double book the evening, so we said, great, this band is going to play, and it's going to, you know, they're going to feed into each other.
Because
Jordan would sit in with Andy Paley Orchestra, and then you guys, a lot of you wound up singing.
Adam Bush also would appear in the show.
You guys would sing with the band, which
was
great.
Was it Sparks where you did like the Harlem Globetrotters, Gilligan's Island crossover, where Common Rotation shows up as characters?
We're just looking for our studio.
Yeah.
Can we play a song?
Because the early
Harlem Globetrotters song.
The early show had... When we were finding out what the show was, the early show, we would take a kind of a musical intermission two times throughout the show, just like SNL.
That's
just,
right.
Like, did Tom Rousseau, was he one of the early ones?
Yeah. Sean Pander.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we had a radio magician.
That was always weird. I remember the first, like, two episodes I did, the music, there was no context for it other than, like, now here's a musician, and they would come out and play, like... some like late Beatles stuff or something like sort of acoustic and really kind of slow, and it was beautiful, but in the context of that show it was like you're driving
everybody else. So I will say, and I think we've talked about this, but it was in part because Ben and I were such fans of Paul F. Tompkins' variety show.
And so Paul had the musical guest, and we said, oh, that's how you do a show. and it took, again, it took like a good 6 to 8 months.
It took getting our own musician.
Yeah, figure out what that show is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so Andy Paley joined 6 months
in. How did we get Andy?
Through Gruber.
Evan did the music 6 months in. Mm-hmm. We were trying to get Evan Schletter.
Which was the first Sparks theme song.
Yeah.
Right. We had Evan, and Gruber brought Andy to go see that. They don't have one of those regular.
Thanks.
Annie, I feel like you were in the audience before you were in the show.
I was. I came to the second month.
Right.
Oh. And wow. I remember loving it. I remember thinking, I have no idea what just happened, but I love everything that just happened.
I feel like you were dating some guy that was in the show.
Yes, Fred Cross.
Yeah.
He's now my husband. Oh,
oh my gosh, congratulations!
Wait, you got married?
Because I remember I had just seen your show, Annie and Her Stupid Friends, and I saw you in the house and came over and said hi. It was
Wait,
a show.
You saw my show?
Yeah. I came over. Oh, this is nice.
I remember you commenting on the poster.
Yeah. No, I saw the show.
You saw the poster.
You played 1,000 characters.
It did.
You saw that show? Wow.
How was in it? How was my show?
That I don't remember.
One of the stupid friends.
That was directed by Wyatt Cenac.
Some say the stupidest friend.
Really.
We all say.
Well, no, yeah, I saw it. And then after that, the third month is when I joined.
That's right.
They were holding auditions because Padgett was too busy.
That's right.
To do Sadie. And another gal.
Because it was a Thursday night. So you were tied up on
Thursdays,
Criminal Minds.
Yeah, right.
You couldn't always be there.
That's what I know you from, Criminal Minds. That's okay. Oh, that's been bugging. Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah, there were some rotating Sadies for a while.
There were.
And no one can
hate this. But I remember I did it the third month, and then after that, I was in the show as Blacker of the Acker Blacker Post character.
That's right.
That
we talked
about that. That's
right. But we didn't do a Beyond Belief that next month because Paul said, I don't want to keep doing different Sadies. I just want to do it.
Yes.
Which totally understandable. Makes sense, obviously. But it was just so funny. I was like, oh. Because I didn't do it before.
Oh, that's how acting works.
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. Yeah.
But that did not work both ways because I was gone for a year.
That's what I know you from.
I believe.
Being gone for a year. Yeah.
It continued.
Paul,
with
the show
Graham
must
for
go
one
on.
Year.
What's that?
The show must go on.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
But Paul and Janie moved to New York. It wasn't
right.
Like, yeah. I maybe I can do Thursday. I'll let you know my schedule.
I don't know, man.
I'm sorry.
For a year.
I moved to New York in May. It's now March.
You weren't flying
You're
back every weekend.
That's true. No. I don't have crap to do it.
Oh, stop.
Also, do you know how many croaches we've gone through in the past 6 months?
No, I don't.
Better that way.
Oh.
Craig,
what are you remembering?
And what don't you remember?
Well, I think the first one I did was...
Any questions Patrick can answer.
Great. I'm sure she can. The first one I did was the third one, I believe, and Fred Cross, the aforementioned Mr. Annie Savage, he and I were Acker and Blacker for that one. So you were trying out different Ackers and Blackers hosting the show.
Looking for the magical combination.
Yes.
That was Annie and Hal.
Yes. And I remember this might not have been the very first rehearsal that I went to, but it was a rehearsal at Acker's house. Because I remember Fred was there, and there was a snack mix.
Yes.
from Gelson's, maybe, that you know, had a little bit of a kick to it. And it was, a mix of, you know, nuts and, you know, tortillas and whatever. And it was called Sweet Cajun Fire. And Jackson and I started riffing on the idea of a snack mix called Sweet Cajun Fire just as an exclamation. And then that became the catchphrase of...
General Rex Flagwell.
General Rex Flagwell of... Jefferson Reed Ace America.
Which is Sweet Cajun Fire, it's hot.
That's right. Yeah, that was originally
Jackson. Was the original.
What other Trader Joe's products have they
made? There was a lot of stuff.
Jib Janine is another kind of end joke, right?
Jib Janine?
Is it?
Where did that come from?
Do you not remember?
No, this is...
Yes, Jib Janine is the place in Lebanon where my wife's family emigrated from.
Oh, no!
Yeah.
Did you actually do it?
Oh
yeah.
My God.
There are many mugs from many family reunions that say on them the Hadads of Jib Janine.
No.
Yeah. I love it.
So why do we hear on Twitter all the time about, I've got this package from Sparks Nevada, but we never hear anything from Jim Jenny.
Yeah.
It's disappointing.
Maybe they spell it differently.
How are our downloads in Lebanon?
We're going next year.
Yay! Sorry, Phil. We're going to Lebanon.
There were a lot of bits that came out of rehearsals, and I know, like, we've talked about how the gummy voice and the gummy character kind of came out of rehearsal.
The improvised magic act, do you remember that?
Yes, no. How?
Derek Hughes was missing a show, and
it was like last
like,
minute, right?
Around that time, David Blaine was in a block of ice in the middle of Times Square with alligators around him, or one of his crazy stunts.
Did Derek
so Gruber and I,
alligators.
Yeah, Derek Hughes was murdered. That walk of ice. Gruber and I were messing around, I was doing fake magic tricks for him, and for some reason, I think Acker told me later, he's like, we're going to do that in the show, so we're going to write an intro, and then you're just going to go into the crowd and do fake magic.
I would never direct you to go into
the crowd. It worked really well the first
That's
time.
That's your favorite theater conceit, right?
It was like, one time was really good, and the second time, terrible. Like, we should have just done the first one. It worked fine the first time.
That's more than
that. That was out of a mess around.
Yes, but
that's
part.
More than once that Gruber goofing around became an episode.
For sure.
The Law and Order bit was Gruber messing around with the opening of a Law and Order episode. Of we're just here bailing hay. Hey, look, a body. That came out of Gruber just goofing off in rehearsal.
No, wait, he was saying he was like a dock worker being interviewed by the cops for murder, and he wouldn't stop loading the whole scene.
Listen, I gotta get back to my ship.
He wouldn't stop. They all
goom, goom.
It was easier at MBAR to watch. To be a part of the whole experience because
there was no choice. Really.
We were all at the bar.
Yeah, you just stand there and you just watch everything, and now we actually have a backstage, and you can't. There's really no place for us to kind of hide.
Busy's never seen the show.
No. Not once. I don't really know what we're doing.
Let me throw this out there. I think this happened a lot, especially in the early days of MBAR. Like, there would be times where I would read the episode and even perform it and be like, I'm not sure what just happened. I don't know if I understand the story. I was just in.
Absolutely.
That's happened to me many, many times. There have been times that I've gotten off stage after doing like a couple shows and realizing, oh, I was delivering that line completely incorrectly. Totally wrong.
Yeah.
Totally wrong.
Does this still happen?
Well,
I realize
it happened a couple months ago. Yeah.
Every month. I would say every month there's at least
there's
one
someone.
Line.
Yeah.
No, the problem
to
is
me personally, every month there's one line that I don't understand until I'm halfway through saying it.
I thought you were going to say halfway in the bag.
No, that's every line.
Also true.
And then I finish the line or in the middle of the line realizing, oh, this is like a Don Draper reference. Or I hear the audience laugh and then go, didn't get it. Like, whatever reference it was, I don't get it until the audience laughs.
It's usually a reference.
Yeah.
You just say the line as you think it's just something, and then you hear the audience go, what?
Yeah.
Own it.
Yeah.
Okay, you just did.
I've had that where... I had it where I directed a line to the wrong character. Both, like, twice. Two shows in a row. And then realizing later, like, why didn't that land? Like, oh, I was talking to the wrong person.
I feel like that happens at least once a show to someone. But I'll tell you what, it plays on the podcast just fine.
Right, yeah.
There are, like, individual lines that I've not quite gotten. But there was an entire episode.
Do you want to ask us that?
That I didn't understand until like the fourth time we did it. It was that Colonel TikTok where I was like, I really don't get this whole, the timelines are matching up and he's revisiting all his exes. What is happening in this? We've done this episode four times. And by like the last time we did it, which was I think Comic-Con last year, I was finally like, oh, it's nonsense.
Oh, it's gibberish nonsense.
That Shakespeare episode of Moonshine Holler.
Yeah.
Remember that one? Still to this day have no idea what we were talking about.
I think everybody got a turn in that.
So it's just like Shakespeare, you're saying.
I was in charge of
gibberish. Yeah. The words are pretty, but they don't mean anything.
That actually felt, that one made me feel the best about being an actor I've ever felt, because I was like, I'm doing this. I get what's going on here. And I'm delivering the lines. I'm giving everything the proper emphasis. I know where pauses go. I was very proud of myself.
When we did that in New York with you as the villain, that was my favorite performance of that, because you did, like, you got every single word.
It's a shame the podcast listeners were deprived.
It is a shame. It is a shame.
Was that the one where Hal missed, like, an interstitial entrance and Paget did it?
That, that was like...
That was Beyond Belief.
Like a year ago, something like that? Was it Beyond Belief?
Oh, yeah.
Schlacker and I were backstage talking, too. Like, he wasn't like, get out there. We were like, yeah, so let's talk about baseball for 10 minutes. And then we hear, like, oh, true believer.
We have no idea what was happening.
I tried to say it like Spooky Hal.
I guess I
can't remember what the line was.
It came out a little bit. It was like episode something. It was like one line.
Coming next.
Who else has missed an entrance? Anyone else here?
Sam. You did?
Gags
did.
Oh, yeah, Gags
definitely
did.
We definitely, like, multiple times.
Just recently.
I mean, I did miss one recently.
Just recently.
What was that? You did?
Yeah, not by much, but, like, it was like a 3-second delay on stage, then a very panty Italian.
You were a little sweaty because you would come running. You'd run from from somewhere else outside.
Well, the worst
maybe.
Is when you're on stage and it's your line and you're staring at the script.
Yeah.
And it's, like, I think all of us have done.
And you're going, anytime, Hal.
Yeah, it's like, get a nudge or... Somebody says it for you.
The last show that we did, when we were doing Beyond Belief,
Jenny Wade.
Yeah. Jenny Wade is standing there, and she finishes her line, and then she's just standing there looking at me.
Yeah.
And so I just reached over and pointed to where it says, they exit on the script. Second show, same thing. She's just staring at me. And so I was like, oh, my point.
Did it again.
We
reached over and pointed to
there
the same direction, and they went
later,
up.
Like, days later, I combed through the emails to look the script back up. I was like, I was right? Like, she was supposed to leave?
I've seen Gagliardi get really, like, he's really in the moment, really listening, really engaged, to the point where he's not looking at his script anymore.
Yeah.
So he's in this moment of, like, yeah, I'm totally here with you. I'm here with you.
And
it's been about 5 minutes. I'm still here.
Somebody's going to say something, right?
Oh, shit.
Then
he jumps in.
That was an Algonquin 4 once where...
Yes.
Was it you or was it...
Oh, I just stood and bounced waiting for the next line.
Like,
I'm standing as Robert Benchley doing this, like, sassy, bouncy thing. And I'm like, anytime, Melina, anytime. Oh, right. And
I definitely have had the thing where you are trying not to stare at your script and trying to, you know, have a moment with someone or eye contact or whatever. Yeah. And then when you look back at the page, you're like, well, none of this makes any sense. you have that panic moment where you're like, find a word that they're saying, find a word that they're saying, where are we? And it's horrifying.
There's also been a couple of times where we forgot to cast a character.
Yeah.
and like two lines
usually,
before, Aaron realizes it, and he's gone
down.
Yeah.
To Ben, he's having to cast a character. Usually it's like two lines before somebody, and then Aaron's going, Who's nearby? Gags, go,
yeah.
Go, go.
It's always Gags, Aaron.
And it'll be a one-word description.
I feel like, because last year sometime I grabbed Hal, and I was like, Hal, you're doing this, you know, like, up to, like, the second before, and then somebody showed up, and I was like, Hal, you're out.
Yes. Sorry.
And Hal's like, oh.
I feel like
that was Weird Al. Ben's like, you're gonna sing with Weird Al. You're gonna totally get to sing with
Weird
Al. It's like, yeah, real excited. Then, like, Paul and Storm walked in with 10 seconds before the show. They walked on stage, and you're like, you're not singing with Weird Al. It's like, that's fine. It's just a joke. That went wrong. We get it. Totally get it.
Yeah.
There's always room behind that
line. We honor Weird Al's requests.
Yes.
I feel like far more often than missed entrances, we've had early exits. That's gone on. You know, Molly Quinn is a memorable one. We were on the road at one point. But there have been times that people have definitely, like, said kind of a big line and exited and then, like, snuck their way back up.
You know, can we show a montage?
Yeah.
Go to the clip.
Picture this. The end.
Has anybody else ever been in the middle of the show and been missing a page?
Oh.
happened to me, but I'm right next to Paul, so I just leaned over.
Did that happen to you recently?
No, it happened a few years ago, but it was a panic.
Oh, yeah.
But also, have I had the right script this whole time? And thinking, and it was just one page.
Even though you've been reading lines for pages.
Yeah, thinking, oh, my God, this is a different,
do I have about this show? Like, you just lived one.
No. I don't have nightmares about it, do you?
No.
Oh, yes. No, I totally do.
You do.
You do?
I know you do. You told me.
What?
What
are they?
Stop everything. What are your nightmares about?
Share with us.
I don't.
I feel like there was one where it was like all the sounds were wrong.
It's,
yeah. Does that happen?
That's a real thing.
What
happened?
Get sound effects man Ward back.
Can I say, being in charge of sound effects during the show is so stressful.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I've done it.
All three of us.
I've done it, too. Yeah.
On stage, with the... All you have to do is press the space bar.
We tried that for a while with the actors on stage.
If it messes up once, the whole show is thrown.
Because we didn't want to do it.
First, I had that terrible idea... Because I saw Joel Spence in the play with Janie, Paul's wife Janie, and said, oh, could we have a sound guy, special effects guy on the stage?
Wait, I was in one.
This was the first year.
Kids Simple.
It was a radio play.
And
they had live Foley.
But then Joel Spence on that tiny stage at M-Bar was bringing in like a bowl with spaghetti in it and a boot and a sock.
He thought it was a spook house.
And it was just too, it just couldn't, it had to be done by
we did do it. The amount. Lizzie's right, we did it with live Foley once at Sketchfest.
In San Francisco. I remember it very clearly.
I don't remember that.
Oh, never mind, wrong show, you guys weren't in it.
No, we never did it after Joel. Joel Spence did it a couple times and then it went.
Joel moved
and then Joel went to computer.
Yeah.
It's all computers now.
And then that
computer took his job.
I want to talk to a person.
Didn't we play the Invisible Man?
Yes. Joel.
And he was behind the computer screen, so the audience genuinely didn't know where the voice was coming from. See, Claude Rains, the Invisible Man, sat below the thing and did the lines. What was that? Which story was that?
Tales from the Black Lagoon.
I love that.
I remember Joel Spence being the sound guy. That was like the only guy I remember. And then I went to an improv show and I was like, that's our sound guy on
stage. One of my favorite Andy Paley deep cuts is
the Sound Effects Joe song, which came from like two Andy Paley misconceptions. that Joel Spence's name was Joe, and that he was a lawyer.
In fairness, Andy Paley.
Hold on,
you're right.
Andy thought that Joel was a lawyer. I didn't like.
All right, I think Ag was going to set the record straight.
I think that was just a bit, but Andy may have believed it.
It was a bit that Andy believed.
Yes.
The answer to your question is yes.
It wasn't like Andy arbitrarily.
When a radio program is pallid and weak,
with lines poorly written and too hard to speak.
Oh, we can't afford this.
but the main point is that when Andy didn't know your name, he would just say what you did and add Joe.
Yeah, right.
What's that bow tie, Joe?
I'm in shock because Joel represented me in Small Claims Court. I can't think of my
lawyer. Well, he's a great actor.
I'm just learning this now.
We're just with Foley. He's just arguing
with Foley. The jury loved him.
It's like that Muppet that is complaining to Ernie and needs to use his phone.
What?
See, if this were a show, I wouldn't understand that.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
I'm Annie Savage.
And I'm not. I'm Craig Kukowski.
I'm Autumn Reeser.
I'm Hal Loveland.
I'm Busy Phillips.
And Jana Varney, and we are from the Thrilling Adventure Hour.
We're the Latter-day Work Juice Players.
Even me! Latter-day Work Juice Players.
Yeah, some of us joined up in the second or third episodes.
Like me.
third episode here, and some of the firsties, I won't say who it is, but their initials are PFT. Still kind of hold it against me.
Oh, and Hal, and me, as well.
And me.
Yeah, I joined up later.
Yeah, me too, guys. I got to join later, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean...
Yeah.
Which I am. I have one show behind me and one more to go.
Okay. But whether you came in, like, basically at the... whether you came in basically at the start or were a guest star until an hour ago... I'm gonna finish talking. Work's Your Spring Coffee's the best.
It gives you a strong, heady buzz. I was in the third episode.
You guys, it tastes like friendship feels.
What are we going to miss most about not doing the show?
Each other.
Yeah. Aww.
But which of us?
In order.
Right.
I think that's really it, though. Is the getting together with these people every month, you know, it's just been such a given in our lives for such a long time that it's really, really weird to think that it's not going to happen every month.
Yeah. I feel the same way. And in the 10 years that we've been doing this, I think I've missed 3.
Jesus.
This month.
And there's nothing else in my life that I've cleared more room for than the show.
Which we appreciate. I mean, you guys have to know how much we appreciate you guys showing up every month, sometimes twice a month, to do this thing, which, you know, it still feels like putting up a curtain in the barn, you know, no matter how big it gets or how many people are involved or where we go with it, like, I think everything we've described here today tells people just how, you know, rough and fun and silly it all is, and I will miss it.
Yeah, when we finish recording this podcast, we're going to crack open the 10th anniversary script and read it.
For the first time.
We're going to sight read it.
I mean...
But I can't remember the last time all of us were in a room to do the reading together, and that's kind of exciting, too. And just knowing how funny all of you guys are and how you're going to crack me up in about 5 minutes, I'm looking forward to that.
In about 5 minutes, less than 2 hours from curtain.
I read the script at work when it was emailed out, and I cried like 3 times sitting at my desk at work because it was the first time that it hit me that the show was like, oh, this is really... Like, this show, this anniversary show feels like the last show, and then everything else is, like, just sort of bonus on top of it. But, like, to have the core group here, it feels like an M-Bar show in the best possible way.
Can I'm absolutely in denial. I think you guys are going to change your minds. I think 5-6 months, you guys are going to be like, sure would be fun to do a, hey, you know, let's do a... special surprise! Surprise email! And I know it's coming. Yeah. I'm not giving away all the gowns. Yeah, I just got a couple more. I just don't believe that this is really... I just absolutely don't. I think you're going to change your minds. Is there any chance that that's a possibility for the future, for the fans?
That Lebanon thing is real.
Next year at Lebanon.
Yeah, I also think that it feels a little weird just because we know how many shows are... actually scheduled right now into the future.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really feel real.
That's the thing. If you made this happen, You said this will be the last show, and then you kept adding shows. So of course I think that we're going to keep doing it.
I think we are too.
I think we are too.
I didn't even know that it was ending until like 2 days ago. Like, you guys said we were ending the show in LA, and then I saw on freaking Twitter that it's like last show ever. Come to one of our. And I was like, wait.
And then you did it too. You did it.
They're like, these are the last shows ever. I was like,
we took you out for breakfast.
I was there. I was there. I was at that breakfast.
But it does.
But it doesn't seem real. It's not like Cougar Town.
We're going to TBS.
It feels a little bit like open ended. It feels like it could keep going.
Maybe Australia is coming up.
Like three times a year. What's wrong with three or four times a year?
Why would I do it?
We're gonna do it. I'm keeping mine. I'm keeping it all.
Here's a question. Do we need them?
You guys, we have 10 years of scripts already.
They're still doing Shakespeare, and he's been dead for 400 years.
Let's just cobble together as many scripts as we can from memory.
Wait, did anybody save the PDFs?
We shouldn't call it Thrilling Adventure Hour, though. We just change the name.
No, we don't call it Acker and Blacker's Thrilling Adventure. We call it Thrilling Adventure Hour, the Redux.
What about
something like that?
What about the Supernatural Suspense Hour?
I can make it shorter. Beyond Belief and Friends.
And it's dumb friends.
And it's dumb.
That sounds great, but I kind of hate that.
The Bowtie Joe variety.
Bow tie, people listening at home.
We found it. I would hope that after, you know, the last ever show in April of 2015, that we take 6 months and not do the monthly show. But I would hope, like, the way that I'm able to sleep at night and not losing my mind about this ending is that I would hope that we do maybe a couple of shows a year in L.A. and a couple of shows a year in New York. We can do that, can't we?
Yeah. I can.
Yeah. Busy Phillips presents the Supernatural. Brought to you by Bowtie Joe.
And sweet Cajun fun.
Look for it in November 2015.
Show at 8 in Lebanon. Scratched out. 8:10. Scratched out. 8:15.
She has two kids.
I have two kids and I manage to show up sometimes.
Thank you all. Thank you all for showing up every month. Thank you to all the fans for listening to it and supporting us. Guys, let's do a show, huh?
Let's rehearse.
Yay!
Let's rehearse.
Yay!
On with the show.
That's right.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.